City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
In my singing school, I'm one of many who was just a fool. That Mrs. Goodman's little fella Benny. Music is a thing that's no good without that rhythm. Sweet and hot, fast and slow. So get yourself a little dash of hidey-ho and swing it, Mr. Mendelssohn, swing. Just try singing with a swing. Sing, 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 sing. Everybody loves to swing. Summer, fall, winter, spring. These are all good times to swing. When the music comes around, just join in with your own sound. Here's the thing you need to know. Just make it all up as you go. Sing, 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 sing. All you got to do is swing. Shakespeare said the song's a thing. When you're singing with a swing, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Trombones, blare, and cymbals ring, they all got their way to swing. When the music comes around, just join in with your own sound.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 128. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We're in our week of rain here in Chicago. It's about to start raining, and so now it's oppressive and humid. Kind of feels like New Orleans right now.
Oh, it's a little thick. You kind of have to wade through it. I rode my bike today to work.
Ooh, did you have to take a shower once you got there?
Well, I bring a full change of clothes. I mean, all the way from like skivvies all the way out. Yeah. And I have these like riding mantis that are like, they wick all the business away. So it's like, I'm not sweating.
Mantis?
Yeah, because
that's the first time mantis has ever been said on the Queercast.
I think I've said it before. I thought I said my mantis. Anyway.
You could have a whole conversation like the taint Queercast.
Right, exactly.
Your mantis.
Well, you know, and they hold the bits and pieces is in the right place and everything. So, but the funny thing is you sweat and then it goes right into them. You don't notice it until you take them off.
Oh no.
And it was so gross because I literally pulled them off and I accidentally dropped them on the floor at work and they made that plop sound like a wet paper towel.
It's like you could throw them against a wall and if they stuck, it would be a really done, like a noodle.
Totally. I picked them up and then there was like this pool of sweat on the floor. I was like, that's mine. And thank God they clean this bathroom once a day. So, but I like riding in the heat like this because you know what? A good sweat like that, it feels good when you're done with it, when you're on the other side of it.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd want to then have to sit in my dried sweat all day on my skin though. That would be my thing. Like I could
I have a baby wipe bath.
Oh, you have a baby wipe bath.
I have a baby wipe bath. So I put the baby wipes, and in fact, I make my own baby wipes.
Look at you.
You take the Vaseline Intensive Care.
You're just precious with your mantis and your baby wipes.
It's good. You take the Vaseline Intensive Care lotion and lots of like Bounty paper towels, and you make your own baby wipes. You just squirt them in a Ziploc bag.
Look at you.
It's great. So
you're baby fresh for your whole day at big corporate America.
Well, I'm unscented sensitive skin, actually, but I don't have sensitive skin. It's just, why is that? Why can you only get unscented flavor of like lotion when it's the sensitive skin version?
Because usually it's scents that really affect people.
But I mean,
the perfumes that they use are generally a big agent in their sulfur or sulfa.
Well, yeah, sulfa,
and also incense. Those are the two things that affect people most
But sensitive skin lotion isn't as greasy or it doesn't stay on your skin as long. And I can't, in my mind, I can't believe that it's the fragrance that makes
it
stay.
Maybe you just have to find a nice little fragrance that you like. Like a little
I want to smell like this expensive soap I buy. That's what I want
to. All right.
The Lux Bagno, which comes from the Murs Apothecary.
Yeah, I love that. I like the grass. Don't they have grass in that?
Oh, yeah, they have a good. I like
or the lettuce.
Oh.
Is that the one that has the.
No, lettuce is Burt's Bees. They make a lettuce soap.
No, this is a big green bar and it's in. They make.
It's real thick paper.
Orange. Yeah, they make. They make carrot.
I use a sandalwood.
Oh. Look for me some, it's either lettuce, I think it's lettuce. Look for me a lettuce.
I will see if they have lettuce. I know they have like rose and lavender and everything. I don't think this is the brand. I think it's right next to that brand.
Okay.
But I love the, I like the sandalwood smell.
I like the myrrhs. You gave me some of the lovely lemon and the ouzu.
Oh, they had the
ouzu scrub.
That was the, I gave you the Greek stuff too. Did I give you a bottle
you
of Greek stuff?
Yeah, gave me the Greek stuff and I love that.
That was good. That was really
I actually
nice.
Saw that my Japanese spa in Santa Fe too. They carried that
line. Oh, the Greek line?
They carry the Greek line.
Lotufro, something like that.
I can't remember what it is.
Lufro, something like that.
It
means
speak
like
Greek. I hope
the,
you speak
the twig
Greek.
And the leaf.
Or
the
speak
tree.
To a Greek sometime in the next year. I'm going to go to Greece.
Let's go to Greece.
I think we should go to Greece.
We should totally,
go to podcast from Greece.
We should. Well,
I can eat some feta.
Okay, so here is the thing. If we go
Kalmatas,
to Greece, though,
uh-huh.
If we go to Greece, though, the thing about Greece is you cannot refuse the glass of ouzo when they give it to you.
I'm just saying, like crap, but I'll drink it.
It doesn't taste like crap in Greece, actually. It tastes like crap
I don't have to finish it. I'll just drink a sip of it.
Right, you just sip. Oh, you never shoot ouzo. That's some dumb American thing. And all you dumb Americans who shoot ouzo, you're kind of
idiotic. I don't shoot
idiotic.
Anything anymore, right. So.
But you have a little sip and then you eat a lot with it so you don't get drunk. You just get a little buzz.
Yeah.
It's worth it. It's totally good.
Yeah.
But we can introduce you to Metaxa. And then there's this stuff called I could go on and on talking
about
Greek food.
You could just introduce me to everything.
Everything
it would
just Greek.
I would love it so much.
Do you know what I saw this?
I know how to Greek dance, though.
Oh, good. You know how to do the circle dances?
I know how to do
the 12 step or the 3 step?
I know how to do I don't even know. I could just sing them. I don't know what they're called. I know how to do the funeral dance that the women used to do.
They
would hold hands and they would dance off the cliff. Can you imagine that? That is like insane. Greek women. When their soldiers, their men didn't come home, they would do this dance.
Not that the men didn't come home.
They died.
That the encroaching armies were about to get them.
Oh.
And rather than being surrendered to the army.
And being raped and stuff like that.
They committed suicide.
So they do this dance where they link fingers. And they. I know them all. I know. I probably have videos of me doing them at age 14 with the little ribbons in my hair and the black shoes and the whole nine yards. Because my prima ballerina teacher was also Greek.
Oh,
Lilios. And so she taught us, or her husband was Greek. And so she taught us those two dances. We learned that dance. And then we learned the dance that they held the handkerchiefs. The
This is the slow one.
Diddling, and then it picks up.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, they all pick up.
My father can kick ass on the bouzouki.
Okay, I gotta shake off my dancing shoes.
We gotta go dance in downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, so but finish telling the story. So when the soldiers were coming up to the women, they ran. You know, Greece is a very rocky, craggy, cliffy place. So the women actually ran up to the top of. The mountains, and they all linked hands, and then they would, not the mountains, to the cliffs, and they would dance together off the side of the cliff together, holding hands.
Isn't that insane and beautiful?
Yeah. It was better to die than to give yourself to the enemy or
that's
let the enemy take
Spartan,
you.
Yeah, that's a very
Spartan. No, not really Spartan, but it's
but
very
it was,
Greek
that's, it's a very
ideal.
Greek
it's
idea,
very
but there
Greek
was
ideal.
Also, a famous quote of, like, the Spartans was come home on your shield or don't come home
or
at all,
home
was the mother,
all.
What she said to the son.
And then, of course, you know, the Amazonian women, they cut off their boobs.
They cut off their boobs.
So they could be better archers
in Lesbos.
I love the name of that.
The
real name, it's Lesvos, like
Lesvos,
a V, because
like vagina,
the B,
Lesvos,
vagina,
like a vagina, Lesvos.
Oh, and it just went. Guess what I saw this past weekend?
What did you see?
I saw the Simpsons movie.
Oh, the Simpsons!
It was
so good. Yeah,
I was so prepared. To spend $10 to just watch an episode of The Simpsons, but actually, it's a really good movie.
Yeah,
it's got.
I've only seen the
moments.
Burger King commercial, so I don't actually know. Is it about aliens or no?
I don't know that I want to give too much of the plot away, but the whole town of Springfield is in a major crisis.
Okay,
and it's Homer's fault, and they have to fix it.
Okay,
so that's all I'll tell you. But it's so
thumbs up.
Oh my, way up the butt. It's so good.
Yeah.
I was shocked at how good of a movie. And it has these touching scenes and the music is incredible. But the best part, honestly, was we watched the entire credits because we knew they were going to do something crazy with the credits.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's little things that go in there. But the best part, now I knew that The Simpsons, a lot of the coloring and animation was done in Korea.
Oh, huh.
Part of the work is done out there. Part of the work is done here. And on both sides of it, it's not just coloring and animation. There's actually some storyboard scripting and some piecing together of scenes and editing done out there as well. So it's really a 50-50. It's an awesome relationship they have. But you could tell that it went from the American to the Korean people because it was all Park, Park, Yoon Kim, Park, 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 Park. Because Park is like the Korean version of Jones.
Oh, okay.
Or Smith. And like Kim is Smith.
Right.
So it was just hysterical. We were watching. And then Ken starts giggling and I'm like, yeah, this is the Korean credit segment. You know, Hoonyi Park, Jiyeon Park, 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 Kim, 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 Park. And I was like, and none of them are related to each other. But, you know, we don't have that too much in the States because we're so much of a hodgepodge.
Well, and especially with major motion pictures, there's just such multicultural affairs now.
Right,
they're cross continent.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, but...
it's so good.
Well, no, I haven't seen that, but I am going... Unfortunately, I won't be able to talk about this till next week, but I don't see movies very often in the theater, but I am running Don't Walk this week at some point to go see The Bourne Ultimatum.
Why? And,
because I love the Bourne movies. I just
they're all the same movie.
They're so not. They're so satisfying to me. I really enjoy them. And this one got 3.5 stars by Entertainment Weekly and The Trib, and everybody's saying it's really good. My Bibles. So I'll talk about that maybe next week. I don't think I'll have seen it by this next show, but I will have seen it by next week.
Well, I still need to see Introducing the Dwights. Maybe it's not even out yet. It's a British thing, and the mom is a thing. And I still have not seen Zoo. I have to get around to seeing that movie Zoo.
I think you got to get that on video now.
Zoo?
I don't think it's in the theaters anymore.
Well, I'll just check the internet. I didn't say that.
Check the internet.
It didn't come in. So the Simpsons movie was great. So I've got some good celebrity news. I don't know if you heard this yet.
I probably haven't.
I because you do get the Entertainment Weekly. So, like... I think I got a hard-on when I first read this because this was like the ultimate...
Your bits and pieces?
Oh my God, I was so stiff and erect and at attention.
Oh my gosh.
So, Mark Cherry.
Yes.
Mark Cherry. We know Mark Cherry.
Desperate Housewives.
Creative Desperate Housewives.
Golden Girls.
He...
All things
not,
that have
not the creator of... Writer of
Golden. Writer of Golden
But not
Girls.
The creator.
Yes.
That was the woman who created soap.
Yes.
Whose name I'm drawing a blank right now. Anyway, Mark Cherry is trying to get Bex and Robbie Williams to be the gay neighbors next door on Wisteria Lane. How hot would that be?
Bex? Who?
David Beckham.
Oh, good Lord.
David Beckham and Robbie Williams to be a gay neighbor, a gay...
Can
just
David
to
Beckham
be a gay
act?
Couple. Who cares? Who cares? Just to see him and Robbie Williams frolicking around on Wisteria Lane.
I think that actually straight women who love Desperate Housewives, and that's... Desperate Housewives feeds the straight woman that's deep within me.
Soccer mom.
Or, yeah.
We all have a soccer mom inside of us.
Yes.
That's why you drive an SUV, Amy, with me.
Yeah, I like the... sometimes I like to have the soccer mom inside of me,
ooh,
but anyhow.
Dirty. Footballers
dirty.
Live.
Ooh. Oh, well, we could just go there. It's a whole night. It's a whole night with Tanya Turner. But
Tanya.
But I think that the straight women will actually really love that. They like the pretty gay men.
Honey.
Straight women like the gay porn. And so do the lesbians. So lesbians might start watching then.
I don't know if it's happening. Now, some websites say it's happening. Some websites say
they're
it's a
British
rumor.
Too. They'd have to be like the British.
Absolutely.
You know,
they're like the two poofs who move in next door.
Expats who come to the,
absolutely.
To the city.
But Robbie Williams is so super smoking hot. You hear all my siblings in that sentence.
Yeah.
And, you know, David Beckham is just gorgeous on two legs. So
of
just
course.
To see them be, I don't
and
care if they both, Robbie Williams won't suck because he's good in there. His videos are amazing. He's a great actor. And he was wonderful in To Lovely.
Yeah.
He was so handsome.
Yeah, he's totally.
But
he's
yeah.
an amazing, you know, he's such a big star over there. He's not ever hit kind of big stardom here. I mean, he has with the gay men. Gay men's, men's. Listen to me.
With the gay men.
You are
with
like.
The, see what I'm doing to you?
You are doing the internet and the
you're
bits
you're learning
pieces.
How to speak Peter, baby.
Oh,
it's part Ebonics, part church girl, part Peter.
Yeah, there you go. Part. Kim.
Parts is parts. Part.
But I that might really be the thing to turn the tide here for him.
I
of
hope.
Catching fire. Beckham is already so.
Because I just, Robbie
on
Williams.
Fire.
Did you ever see the MTV Cribs where Robbie Williams was on?
No.
It was one of the few that someone actually taped for me and handed to me on a video. Because mm-hmm. some people know my obsession with Robbie Williams. And there's this point where he's showing his bed and he starts humping his bed. And it was porn for me. It really was porn. I think I wore out the videotape. I don't think it'll play that section anymore. When you get there, it kind of gets all fuzzy. And yeah, that's all you get. So, yeah, Bex and Robbie Williams. That would be delightful.
It would be
to
delightful.
See in the same thing.
I really enjoy
but,
that.
You know, he's a musical guy. And speaking of music.
Yes. Do I have music? Oh, I have totally got music tonight or today or this morning. I always take for granted that you all are listening at night.
See, I think people are listening in the morning.
You think people. Well, that's why sometimes. You should say in the morning and I say at night. People won't know when the fuck they're listening.
Meto proi in the morning. Yeah, that's how we say it in Greek.
God bless you. I'm so excited actually because these are old pals of mine and they have a really big opportunity to perform at the Auditorium Theater here in Chicago. I'm talking about two singers and a duo that is a very unique duo. Mm-hmm. They've been called the most compelling duo in Cabaret by the Tribune. I'm talking about Becky Minzy and Tom Michael. Just really top-notch, top-drawer, high-class performers, extraordinarily talented, and thrilled to have them on the show tonight to talk about their history. I've always wondered, even though I've known them separately, how do they start singing together? Mm. What has been their journey? And their journey has really taken them not only across Chicago, but if you're listening to the Queercast all around the world, all across the globe, to some of the most highly regarded stages in the U.S. So very excited to have them on and share your music. You're hearing the music of them.
Sorry.
Oh, that was not their music. And you're hearing you heard their music earlier in the show from their CD, Better Together, T-W-O, mm-hmm. Together. So Becky Minzy and Tom Michael on the show, plus lots of gay news. It's a big news week and much, much more. So stay with us.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fantastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
But look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical, and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts, Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
My love has And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
Jennifer Spencer, a trans woman, recently prevailed in a case against the Idaho Department of Corrections, claiming that they ignored dozens of requests for gender identity disorder treatment she felt she needed. Spencer, who was born Randall Gamut, changed names after being jailed in 2000, but didn't talk about her perceived disorder until 2003. In 2004, she castrated herself with a disposable razor blade after she said she was ignored.
In St. Louis, the former chief of the city's public defender's office has admitted to arranging a fake marriage to keep his boyfriend in the country. Eric Offalter said that he and his Peruvian beau, Pedro Serna Rojas, convinced employee Colette Lewis to marry Serna Rojas. Offalter and Serna Rojas, who has returned to his home country, were both indicted. Lewis and her boyfriend, Timothy O'Leary, who knew of the arrangement, were not.
In Lawrence, Kansas, the same-sex domestic partner registry has opened. Approximately a dozen couples lined up the first day on August 1st to register. The city's commissioners approved the plan in May.
In Wisconsin, teenager Eric Hainstock received life in prison for shooting his high school principal, John Klang, because the official supposedly let the student be subjected to anti-gay taunting. Hainstock's lawyers had argued that he had a troubled childhood and had only taken the shotgun and revolver to school to make people listen.
Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson, the first openly gay man elected bishop of a major American Christian denomination, has announced that he is endorsing Barack Obama for president. Quote, he sees beyond the partisanship and hopelessness that have dominated in recent years, and the movement he's building is bringing vital new energy and optimism into our democratic process, Robinson said of Obama, who supports civil unions but not same-sex marriage.
And more political news, Hillary Clinton's camp has announced that lesbian U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin has endorsed her for president. Quote, Senator Clinton is supremely prepared and the candidate best able to ensure health care for all, reaffirm our commitment to the Constitution and rule of law, and reestablish our position of leadership in the world.
Recently, Young Democrats of America voted for its first openly gay president when it elected Dallas activist David Hart during the organization's annual convention. Hart won with 93% of the total votes cast, the largest margin in the group's history.
Sharon Holding, a former ad sales executive for the gay newspaper The Southern Voice, is suing the publication, claiming she was sexually harassed and discriminated against while she was there. Holding alleged that many of the male workers made the office atmosphere sexually charged by displaying graphic pictures and engaging in certain types of behavior.
I hope they don't come to Windy City Media's office.
Yikes.
You'll see lots of porn. In Pennsylvania, federal judge Marvin Katz has allowed gay couple Daniel Mangini and Stephen Roberts to reunite, even though they are each serving supervised release after being jailed for drug possession. The U.S. probation office usually does not let felons associate with each other while being supervised. However, exceptions may be made for close family members.
Anna Gasteyer, the original Elphaba in Chicago's production of Wicked, returns to the Windy City this fall to star in Gary Griffin's production of Stephen Sondheim's Passion at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater.
Yay! Michael Serrault, the French actor who became famous as a result of his role as a crossdresser in the film and stage adaptations of Le Cage aux Folles, has died of cancer at 79. Serrault, who leaves behind a wife and daughter, was in over 130 movies over five decades, and I remember that movie oh so well. Mm. First gay movie I remember seeing. And that's your Windy City Queercast News.
Hello, pineapples. I'm Miss Fousey, and you're listening to Windy City Queercast. I love them.
Hi ho, alas, and also lackaday. Although I can't dismiss the memory of your kiss, I guess you're not for me. Maybe I shall meet you Sunday. Maybe Monday. Maybe not. Still, I'm sure to meet you one day. Maybe Tuesday will be my.
Becky Minzy and Tom Michael have been called one of the most compelling duos in cabaret today by the Tribune. With evocative arrangements, gorgeous vocals, and a witty and warm dynamic, they are pure entertainment on any stage. And let me tell you, they've performed in clubs all over Chicago, on cruise ships, and to powerhouse venues like Lincoln Center and Carnegie Hall. And now, Becky Minzy and Tom Michael are heading to the Auditorium Theater here in Chicago on Saturday, August 18th. So it was a perfect time for us to sit down and have them on the Queercast podcast. Hey, Becky. Hey, Tom. Hey, how are you?
Good.
It's so good to be talking to you.
Thanks. We can only hope we're witty and warm today.
Well,
and gorgeous.
Yeah. And gorgeous. Those are all good. And I'll try to be evocative and let you tell your story, and then we'll have all my adjectives in there.
There we go.
So tell me how you two met. I mean, to be a compelling duo, how did you two met, and what was the click?
Well, Tom had hired me to do a rehearsal for him, and I didn't
this
have
is
my
18
piano,
years ago.
As a piano player.
As a piano player, and it was the longest hour and a half of my life.
She hated me.
I literally left that rehearsal thinking, it's okay if I never see that person again in my life.
Well,
and I don't really have that strong feelings about a lot of people, but I just didn't love him. And then he would come in and sing. I was playing at a gay bar downtown near Bloomingdale's called Heaven, and Tom would come in and sing occasionally there. And then I played for a show of his at Bloomingdale's because I needed the money.
Bloomingdale's?
No, Bloomingdale's. Boombala. At Bloomingdale's.
You were playing where?
At a place called Boombala.
Yeah, this
is Boombala.
Yeah, it was this little club up on Lincoln Avenue. It's no longer around. But it was
It was a cabaret club?
Yeah, it was a cute little cabaret club.
Huh.
A lot of people got there.
Boombala.
Yeah. And Bloomingdale's.
I think that Tom was... I prided myself on being, whether it was musically spontaneous and organic. And Tom came in and was
disciplined,
anal,
disciplined.
And it was as different as what I enjoyed music.
Yeah.
But we ended up working together more and more. And
yeah.
I think the good thing.
When was the first time you sang together, though? Do you remember that?
I sang with him
during
on
that duo show
at Boombala. But I can't say I really loved that show.
Yeah, me either.
I think that what has happened is that then I have learned from his discipline. And
I've learned from her spontaneity.
Yeah.
You know, musical spontaneity. But the two qualities that we have really come together to meet in the middle and have been really good for both of us, I think.
So what was your early musical influence? I mean, have you always been singing?
I did not start singing until I was 25.
Wow, that's pretty late.
I started singing
in the shower around your house?
Not really.
Or with a hairbrush or any of that?
No, I mean,
stuff?
I think I sang in the choir in second grade.
Sing with the hairbrush now.
Yeah, that's okay. I do too, Tom.
Oh, God. Actually, I got my start in Up With People. You're probably too young to remember Up With People.
I remember Up With People.
Yeah. And
I saw Waiting to Exhale. Isn't that where the sun was going up to sing with Up With People or play trumpet or something? I love that movie.
Oh, God.
All right, gay detour. All right, go ahead.
Not really. No, so I started in Up With People and on a dare. My mother had dared me to come try out for this group. And I'm like, you know, I want to be an airline pilot. I don't want to sing. This is not what I wanted to do. But I joined them and I toured with them for a year. And really fell in love with singing.
Hmm.
And so right after that, I got a job as a flight attendant with an airline, moved to Chicago, and missed the music so much. And that's when I, 2 years later, found my way into Boombala, into an open mic, and that's where I met Becky.
Yeah.
But Up With People is the way I got started singing.
Wow.
So,
and that was just on a dare from your mom.
Yeah, she's like, I think you should travel and see the world and sing with this group. So,
and they'll pay your way.
Yes.
And you'll preach the good word.
Tom's mom's his biggest fan.
Well, that's always good. It's always good to have parental big fans.
Yeah.
So what about you, Becky? What was your start? I mean, your family, you obviously play piano and sing. Were you taking lessons as a child?
I was taking lessons from a very small town, kind of rural piano teacher who wanted me to learn the classics. And I would come in even on a piece of sheet music like Love is Blue, and my ear would hear all these different things. And she would say, Becky, that's not what's on the page. And I would go, but it sounds better. That's how the recording sounds like. But my parents love Lawrence Welk, and they would sing harmonies.
I watched Lawrence Welk a lot. Bobby and Sissy in the Bubble Bath Band.
Bobby and Sissy.
Just the reverse of Bobby and Sissy.
But so there was music around our house, but my parents aren't consummate musicians. They just loved music.
Yeah.
And every time a song would come on the radio, my father would sing harmony to it.
Huh.
So my father had a gift or an ear, but it was just it was never really developed.
So who were the artists you were listening to?
Carole King. I loved
Carole. I sat on an island. Tapestry would be one of, if I got like three albums, Tapestry is one.
Yeah.
It's just got to be.
I
probably second to Rumors. with Fleetwood Mac. But.
I think I'm more Carole King than Stevie Nicks, but I just loved her. And, of course, she was a piano player and a songwriter. And so I think she's somebody back then when I was growing up that I listened to. But then, of course, because of my parents, we would have to. They even took me as a teenager to see a traveling show of Lawrence Welk.
Wow.
And, you know, and I would just go,
that's
oh,
a claim
what am
to
I
fame.
Doing? But then I grew up knowing all of those old Gershwin, Berlin songs, and now it's somewhat of a good thing for the chip jar on occasion to really know those songs.
Didn't you sing in a rock band in college?
I did sing in a, during college, I sang in a band that did disco, so I would sing.
Ooh, what were Thelma they called?
Houston, Kiana. Remember the fabric Kiana?
Oh, yes.
I don't.
Very, oh, you are young. It was very Saturday Night Fever, and it was kind of a slinky polyester, kind of shiny fabric.
Kiana?
And so it was evocative of that Thelma Houston, Don't Leave Me This Way era, and we would sing all of that stuff, plus some jazz, the jazzier things like Patrice Rushen and Lee Ritenour and stuff like that, old Lee Ritenour and stuff.
Oh, Thelma Houston. What happened to Whitney? So where were your early influences? I mean, were they?
Broadway. Oh, my God.
Entirely Broadway.
My grandmother used to take me to the theater all the time when I was a kid, and a total Broadway nut. You know, typical gay man.
Right.
He saw Chorus Line 27 times.
28. I just saw the new production.
Did you? It was my first show I ever saw, first musical I ever saw.
But, of course, being a gay man, also Diana Ross is my hero, too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
She's my diva.
That's your diva. So how do you all pick songs? We've got the influences of, like, Lawrence Welk, Broadway, a little bit of singer-songwriter. I mean, I...
And Burt Bacharach is my favorite composer.
Burt Bacharach. Okay, so you've got this huge genre to pick from.
And we pick from the new genre.
And you do.
Yeah.
I mean, we have our show, like, when we're doing a lot of touring just in the next several weeks, and if we're doing the Great American Songbook show, it's going to have Simon and Garfunkel, and it's going to have something from Broadway, and it's several things from Broadway, and it's going to have you know, old Dusty Springfield, and it's going to have Irving Berlin and George Gershwin, so that it's going to take you through not just the old masters or the old standards of the Great American Songbook.
So you're not going to just do Porter, Berlin, and Gershwin, but you're going to take it into this latter part of Simon Garfunkel.
And Carpenters and stuff
Carpenters.
Like that.
Yeah.
And the Beatles. I know you all do the Beatles.
We do a couple of Beatles things. That was hard to get Tommy to do a Beatles.
That's okay. I was slow to the Beatles music as well, which is really strange.
I love them now.
Really quite brilliant. Quite brilliant. So do you argue on your picking a song, or is one of you just feel,
like,
really passionate about
it's not
the song?
An argument per se, but Becky will come with some new arrangement idea or something, and sometimes she really has to prod me to, like, come on, get this, and
not get this, but to try it.
To try
your
it.
Attitude.
And then it'll end up being my favorite new arrangement.
And that's probably because I hear it in my head. I will wake up in the middle, like the Everly Brothers arrangement that we do is so different from the way most people think of those Everly Brothers tunes.
Right.
It might even, when you hear it, you might not even realize until halfway through the song that it is an Everly Brothers medley.
Right.
Because it's very drama, it's very angsty, it's very, you know, just melodrama. Lovely Queen moment. And but I woke up hearing that arrangement in my head, and Tom can't hear in my head, and I need him to kind of go with the flow and also be open to the ideas until we put it together.
Right.
Our Sing 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 arrangement, which is also on our duo CD, is... I had a long time ago done a gig with Sherry Coons with New York Voices, and they are so creative vocally in jazz, and so that informed how we could bring something to Sing 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 and do our own take on something like that. And I was hearing it, but because I'm the improviser a little bit more than Tom used to be, and he's getting so much better at that.
Yeah.
I sometimes need emotionally to feel like he's open to the idea and to not have it be perfect right away, but have it be organic and let's see where it's going to go.
So is it as your title of your duo C, Better Together? I mean, is it really great to have that person to lean on and another person on stage? And what does that feel like?
I started
off.
Because,
I mean, you both done solo albums. And
I mean, I will do another solo album. It'll still have Becky on it. You know,
right.
I always have to have at least two duets or three duets. But I started off doing solo shows, and I didn't really like it. I felt lonely up there.
Yeah.
Even though I had, you know, Becky or whoever playing the piano or whatever, I enjoy singing with another person. And in our shows, we still do solo moments.
Right.
But there's something about two voices together.
And I would amend that and say there's not something about two voices together. I think that I've worked with other people, and there are tons of people that I play for and I've sung duets that I adore. But I don't think it's just two people just working with somebody else. I think that we lucked into and were open. We kind of grew into realizing that something was really good was happening and something different than any other duo around the country. And so for me, it's not better together because I'm with somebody else. For me, it's better together because we have chosen to be partners, and it's Tom.
Yeah.
And I think we really complement each other. And
I was a maid of honor in her wedding.
He looks so good in a green taffeta dress with
a blonde. Oh,
that's
I bet.
Not true, audience.
It is matches totally your perfectly pink skin.
Yeah, exactly. It's
very blonde hair.
Beautiful. We have a picture of him with the veil on, trying to catch the bouquet.
That's true.
So tell me, what is your hardest, worst nightmare gig that you ever had? You may have different ones.
Are we going to say this? Say.
Dallas
is mine.
Dallas. What happened in Dallas? Dun, 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 dun.
I don't even want to say the name of the club because it was a gay club.
It was a gay club that had actually gone through some changes, that for a while was more a music club.
Uh-huh.
And that was really evolving a little bit more into a drag club and a little bit more into a less of a music club and much more into a rowdy club that we weren't totally right for.
Right.
And there are great artists that do that stuff. Chris Francis and Rudy Delamore that do that. And I'm not
heckling
sure.
back at the audience, kind of playing with, I mean,
and
that
I
kind
even
of thing.
More, I don't think that Rudy is right for this club now either. Or if it's
I don't
still
even
open.
Know if it's still there. This was years ago.
Yeah.
But we were booked in. We walked in. There was this mammoth life-size poster, and it was with another artist in town. That's a friend of ours.
Three of us.
And it was booked in Chicago's Hottest Trio. Well, at that time, we were just doing My Favorite Year and ballads and, you know, songs. We hadn't even grown to be anything of what we are. We were still young.
Yeah.
And they were expecting this hot trio, and we were getting up singing, you know, like the old Flirtations group, Love Don't Need a Reason, and all of these yeah. self-indulgent, My Favorite Year. I don't iron his shirts. And these people right. were wanting, you know, and then...
Don't leave me this way by Thelma Houston.
They were wanting all my body humor.
Pour me a man.
So pour me a man. So I, all of a sudden, when I realized we walked in and we thought we were at the wrong place. We were in the worst hotel in the world. We walked in and there was an old vintage, broken down, you know, Chevy with a piece of cardboard with a sign that said courtesy car.
Spelled with a K.
K-U-R, courtesy car. I walked in and knew there was no concierge and said to the desk clerk, I said, would there be an iron here? And the girl went, let me look under the desk. Let me look under the counter. And then we went up to the rooms that smelled, and you sat on the bed and you fell to the floor and you sat on the couch and it was a concrete slab.
And it was right next to a railroad track.
Next to an overpass that had a view. So we went to the Galleria, like the most expensive mall, and I bought a gorgeous black shawl that I'm still paying on in my credit cards, just to kind of, because I was just depressed. And at the gig, then they wanted, then the gig owner came up and didn't want the two guys to sing. Because I knew I had to do rowdy stuff. So I was singing All That Meat and No Potatoes and everything I would do at Douglas Dunes and to try to rowdy the thing. And then the guys would go,
My foolish heart.
No. Really so the owner refused to deal with one of the guys totally at that point. And it was just an awful. We would go back to the hotel room and just cry.
Do you feel the pressure? Do you feel the pressure to have to be, because I'm sure you play a lot of the gay clubs and stuff like that, to kind of fit, I don't know, a model that I don't really see you all as, you know? I mean, though the gay community's always embraced you, do you feel that tendency to be kind of
I think
heckling
some,
back at the crowd and
we can do
with
our
that.
Share of that, but there
that's not really who we are.
That's not who we. But again, right. there are different gay clubs.
Yeah,
and the downtown gentry at one point was far more of a music room than the Halsted Street. The gentry at Halsted Street was a party room,
yeah.
and in the music room, those audiences loved what we did.
Yeah,
and so many people who love the audience is one of your best audiences. Sure. Entertainers will say that constantly because they love music, they love Broadway, they know some of those old Gershwin standards, they know Simon and Garfunkel and the Carpenters. They will let you know if they like you and if they don't.
we're pretty specific about what we like and we don't like. We're not very gray about those matters. So what was your best gig, Tom? One that you're just like, was it Carnegie Hall? Was it the big venues? Was it finally singing in Lincoln Center?
I love singing at Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
That was so exciting. We've done it the last 2 years, actually. But you know what's so funny is there's nights that I've sung at Gentry for, you know, 5 or 6 people in the audience. And I love that. And in just as much in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I love it all. You know, Lincoln Center for 1,500 people is great. Gentry for with 5 or 10 people is great. Just as long as we're making music. I don't know. I just love it all.
Yeah. So now, who are you listening to now? Are there cabaret artists that we should know about, or even just
my favorite of all time was Nancy Lamott.
Nancy Lamott.
She passed away about 11 years ago, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But she was always my favorite.
Why?
There's a vulnerability in her voice that I don't think I've ever heard before. It's like hers. It just, she's amazing. Her arrangements were so brilliant. There's just a quality about her that's, I don't, have you ever heard anybody else even come close to that?
No, but I liked her a lot, and a couple of those CDs I listened to a lot, but I didn't love her. I liked her a lot.
Loved her.
And you felt...
Karen Mason, too, is another one I like.
Karen's my buddy.
Do you like Karen?
I love Karen. Well, awesome. She's just a friend of mine. If she didn't sing a note, I'd still love her to death.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's great. She's great. And how about for you, Becky? They don't have to be cabaret. It can be anybody that you're just...
I would second the fact that I like personally... As I've grown more jaded in my older life, I now want the artist to make magic in real life besides make them musically. And so as we've gotten to know a bunch of our colleagues, like Karen, what makes Karen so special to me and Ann Hampton Calloway so special to me is that they are real. Their music, they make as much magic off stage as they do on stage. They're not pretend on stage. So I like those women and Amanda McBroom. And I would say the new addition to that is, I think, and I'll just say this for all of your audiences, if you haven't heard Susan Werner's new CD, The Gospel Truth, I think she's amazing.
I haven't heard that album yet.
It's an amazing album, and she is an artist who could have made choices. She's so talented, and she could have made choices to, you know, I think be incredibly famous. And what she's done is stay true to herself, and I think she's an amazing artist. And this new album... I think is wonderful. And she doesn't just stay in one record bin, which a good manager would tell her to do.
Right.
Find your artist, be it, and then evolve there. She really is inspired by what motivates her at the time, and she's constantly trying something new. And I admire that, and it's not always the best business choice.
Yeah.
But I think that for her, she just seems to grow as an artist, and my... interest in what she does is amazing.
I think that Betty Buckley just mentioned her when we talked in an interview a month and a half ago or something. I know she was talking about Amanda as well.
I get to play for Amanda this summer. She's going to be doing a concert for everybody who's listening. Amanda's doing a show at Northwestern in August.
Oh, wow.
August 15th.
Oh, wow.
And so I get to play for her.
I think Susan's coming to the MAC out in College of DuPage.
No,
I'm not sure. I'll look that up for you once
we're
not doing the interview. But so you are doing your Great American Songbook show at the auditorium, which is August 18th. And I know you're probably really excited. It's such an amazing historical musical venue in the city of Chicago.
And you know how the format of the show?
Tell us. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, they're bringing the audience up onto the stage. And they've set up the stage like an intimate cabaret with cocktail tables, a bar set up, and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And so they'll be up. The people will be actually up on the stage with us.
Okay. And our backs will be to the dimly lit... the backdrop of our show will be the theater, the seats, and all of that. Spider Saloff just told us, she said, this is the most amazing thing.
Yeah, she did the gig in June.
And so everybody will be up, and it'll be intimate and warm, and yet in a place that not only acoustically is amazing, but it will have this ambiance of music. It really, and Susan Werner did it also this year, and so we're thrilled to be on that series. And
so what are you going to do? Are you going to take us through
the best of Becky and Tom?
The best of you guys.
The best every showstopper that we can pull out, because we have heard from everybody who's been at this particular gig or who has performed at this gig that it's special, and we're just going to do the Great American Songbook, and we're going to do the best of every single arrangement we have.
Yeah. So now, how do you plan your, I'm making you tell trade secrets now, but do you plan your banter? Do you kind of know, like, where you both are in your lives and why you may be, you know, singing, even though you're doing the best of the best, there's probably so much more than you can fill in the time span of a single show.
Definitely.
So, you know, how do you discuss, like, the banter that will happen, how much of it is spontaneous? I would imagine with the two of you that there's a framework and that anything can happen.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. And we do plan the dialogue.
Uh-huh.
We only because we've done some of the dialogue isn't just in a narcissistic way, isn't about us. We may share an interesting story about how you know, Simon and Garfunkel, how Mrs. Robinson, how that song was created or put into the movie. We may tell you a story about Irving Berlin to let you know a little bit about that person, or why we are attracted to twisting. We are known for twisting the bastardizing the Great American Songbook, doing a song in a different way than what you've heard. And that's kind of what we're known for around the country and here in town. And we're going to tell stories about that. And because we tour a lot,
yeah,
some of those stories, yes, we have done the framework. We have written them. We know what the button is and where we're going to get there. And then we just pay attention to each other.
Hmm.
We talk like an old married couple.
Can you ever imagine somebody or could be more than one person that you'd ever want to bring into the fold for a particular concert, just an experience? Is there an artist or a songwriter?
We started out as a threesome when we, the three, you know, there were three of us, and then that the third person decided he wanted to go off on his own and do his solo thing. So I don't.
But is there a dream collaborator? I mean, if you could sit down with, just some huge famous person, you know?
I
feel like I would like. We both love Katie.
Like
Wright. We'd love to do. I just mean like anybody, like just somebody that you're like, if we could create one show with somebody very famous, singer songwriter.
I think if Michael Feinstein said, "I want to do a show with Becky and Tom," we would say, "Okay."
Heck yeah.
Sure. And I think that if Amanda McBroom said, or Karen Mason said, "I want to collaborate with you." We're lucky because in our lives, even in the Chicago community, not just those nationally more known things, there are people that we sometimes perform with,
right,
in different ways. But several years ago, eight years ago, we found out that we had latched on to something that was different than most artists were doing, and we said, let's try this for a year and give it 100%. And see what happens. And it culminated in a performance in New York where when we walked into Town Hall, we were put last on the opening night, the big gala opening night of the New York Cabaret Convention.
Wow.
And Donald only puts heavy hitters. And we knew that clearly from doing some of those things. And he even looked at us and said, now kids, I want you to really hit a home run. And we thought, okay.
Yeah.
I felt like we really stepped up to the plate
really
that night.
We stepped up to the plate that night. Audiences stopped us out on the street, and we sang with Jim Caruso and Billy Stritch.
Ah, yeah.
At their thing, and just got this great response, and we went back to our hotel room and thought, well, okay.
The universe is trying to tell us something.
We said we're going to give it a year, and it's about a year, and I mean, what more of a sign do we need that so we then started really thinking of ourselves as a team.
Yeah.
We made those decisions. Are we going to make financial decisions together? Are we going to become not just people who sing together occasionally? Are we going to become a team? And I think that while we love opportunities to work with our friends, and Karen is a friend, and if Anta Calloway said something to us, I can't imagine that we wouldn't jump at any of those
right.
opportunities. But am I planning a show? Do I have in mind of doing anything? No. What I want to do is take all of the hard work that we've done musically and artistically and share it with anybody who wants to listen.
Well, and people definitely should listen. You're also going to be singing at a benefit for the About Face Youth
Yay!
Theater,
with
which
you.
Is fantastic,
Yay!
Where I will be hosting and also probably singing a little tune.
Yes, she was.
Called Flip Flop, a musical swap that will be at Sidetrack on Monday, August 27th. That is a benefit with many, many, many cabaret artists in town and musical theater talents. Everyone from Tom and Becky to Amy and Freddie to Honey West, Stephen Rader, plus cast members of Wicked.
So you just cast the tramps in town.
We do. I've got the tramps, and then you know all those classy people getting the big paycheck. We got the cast, some cast members from Wicked and The Color Purple and Putnam County Spelling Bee. It's going to be a really fun night. That's Monday, August 27th. But don't miss this extremely unique Great American Songbook Night at the Chicago Auditorium Theater on Saturday, August 18th. If you want tickets for that, you can do two things. You can call 312-341-9668, or you can visit auditoriumtheater.org. There's more information there. Or you can just click on our Windy City Queercast website. We'll have that linked right through. And how can people find out about you two? If they want to buy your CDs, if they want to know where you're touring, because we have listeners
websites,
all over.
Websites.
All right, give me your websites.
Okay, I'm tommichael.net.
Okay, tommichael.net.
And I'm beckymenzie.com. And you just have to spell my name right. It's B-E-C-K-I-E. M-E-N-Z-I-E.com.
Double I-E's.
I-E-I-E.
I-E-I-E.
That's the Hoosier. That's there the whole time.
And obviously, people can get your CDs there. The most recent CD is Better Together. That's correct.
Yes.
And is there plans in the way for a new CD?
The next CD that we're going to be doing is probably a Tom solo CD, which I think we're going to do in the next year.
And the Better Together CD is still pretty new. We did it last year. So.
Yeah. But you're always planning. I know you too. So see, you're already planning Tom's solo CD.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a great, great thing. So everybody, come on out. And thank you, Tom and Becky, for being on.
Oh,
it's been
Amy.
A long time since I've talked to you on the radio. I think it was Les by Gay. So now I get to share you with the world and the big podcasting world and the Queercast world. So
thanks
so much. And we'll see you in Chicago, either at the auditorium or at Sidetrack or at many of your gigs that you are touring in. All right. Thanks.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.